Before I get into my homily, you might be wondering, Deacon, why is your hair so long? Each year we have our basketball tournament, and for some odd reason, I just grow my hair out for the basketball tournament. So we had our basketball tournament. It was our third invitational this last weekend. There's teams from all over the country, teams from Boston, Florida, Nebraska, Minnesota, 12 teams in total. And we ended up winning the whole thing. So was it because of my hair? Maybe. Do we trust God? Seriously, ask yourself this question. Do I trust God? Reflecting on this question myself, in some ways I do trust God. But if I'm completely honest, in some ways I do not trust God. Why is this the case? Well, our first reading from Genesis gives us the answer. We are fallen creatures. This hereditary feature, that is original sin, affects each one of us. And although the stain of original sin is cleansed from our souls through baptism, there still remains within us what is called concupiscence, which is a tendency for humans to turn towards sin. Throughout all of human history, beginning with Adam and Eve, from one generation to the next, all the way up to our current day, really throughout all salvation history, we see this internal struggle play out in a multitude of ways. Think of the Israelites in the desert for 40 years, how quick they were to craft that golden calf and turn away from God and turn instead toward idols. How quick they were to doubt God and accuse him of being a murderer. They would say, "You led us into the desert to die of hunger." Think of the apostles, their own struggles in trusting Jesus and the times that they turned away from him. Think of ourselves, our struggles in following Christ, and the times that we too have turned away from God and instead turned to our own idols that we have, our own Egypts that we struggle in letting go and leaving behind. We are not that different, you and I, from the Israelites. Yet, in a mysterious way, it is in the desert that we are formed to be Christ's disciples. And as Father Dennis mentioned, we have some candidates and catechumens today with us who will be going to the bishop for the rite of sending. They too are beginning to enter into the desert. What a beautiful thing. Candidates and catechumens, please know of our prayers as you begin this journey in the desert. It's not an easy journey, but Christ is with you. And the readings today are so fitting, and you will see shortly why. So what do we do? What is the remedy? Where is the magical formula? Where is the secret knowledge? Where is the power within us? Where is the remedy? To be clear, It's none of those things that I just mentioned. It's not a thing. It is not something that we as humans can craft with our creativity. No, it is not a thing, but rather a person. And not just any ordinary person. It is God Himself, Jesus Christ, fully human and fully divine. He is the remedy. Our reading from Matthew today showcases for us this remedy in such a profound way. Now, as much as I would like to go into great detail in fleshing out the three temptations and showing you how this story parallels with the story of the Israelites' journey through the desert, I felt the Lord instead leading me in a different direction. Instead, I would like to highlight three lessons that we learned from this story of Jesus being tempted in the desert. The first one, the power of God's word, scripture. If you look at the reading from Genesis and how Eve interacts with the serpent, there is a dialogue that happens. There's a conversation. And through that dialogue, she falls victim to his persuasion. And if you look at how Jesus interacts with Satan, he doesn't dialogue at all. He just quotes scripture. The power of God's word. So really, the main thing, when we're in the midst of temptation, do not dialogue with Satan. Because it is not by our own word that we can be victorious. Instead, it's the power of God's word that will help us in overcoming temptation. So for a deeper love and appreciation for Scripture. The second lesson, trust in God. Jesus shows us how deeply he trusts in the Father. He could have taken things into his own hands through the power of his divine nature. But that was what the devil wanted him to do. But instead, he chose to endure the suffering in his human nature and trust in the Father, to trust in the Father's will for him. So no matter what storm comes our way, we must trust in God that he will get us through it. Because he will get us through it. He will not abandon us, just as he did not abandon his only begotten Son, Jesus. The third lesson, humility. So, do any of you know what this is? This is a cover. There's a cover on it. It's not a Bible. Breviary. Yeah, I heard it. So as deacons, we promise to pray the breviary, which is also called the Liturgy of the Hours or the Divine Office. Religious also pray these hours throughout each day as well. But what's unique in the breviary, so it's a 4-week cycle, but every Saturday evening, the evening prayer, the third antiphon is the same scripture every time. Every Saturday, we read these words. And I'd like to read half of it. It's from Philippians 2, 6 through 11. I'm just going to read 6 through 8. Though he was in the form of God, Jesus did not deem equality with God something to be grasped at. Rather, he emptied himself and took the form of a slave, being born in the likeness of men. He was known to be of human estate, and it was thus that he humbled himself, obediently accepting even death, death on a cross. Jesus remains humble in the midst of these temptations in the desert. He always keeps his focus on the Father, even on the cross, in the agony in the garden. He does not put his Father to the test, nor does Jesus take matter into his own hands, but instead he humbles himself and gives his life over to the Father out of love. We must keep our eyes fixed on Christ. We do not have all the answers. We are not in control. We must resist the temptation to take matter into our own hands and instead imitate Christ and humble ourselves into his loving arms. So again, the three lessons. First, power of God's word, Scripture. Second, trust in God. And third, humility. As we embark in this new season of Lent, as we leave our own little Egypts and enter into the desert, let us pray for the graces, for a deeper love and appreciation for Scripture, for an increase of trust in our loving God, and to remain humble sons and daughters of our Father in heaven.